Section 2. Indians of the Historic Period. As you read, look for the following: the names of the two main tribes in Missouri, how these tribes lived, vocabulary terms, tribe, culture, council. When the first Europeans came to North America in the late 1400s, they wrote about the land and the people they found here. Their written records have become our history. We call the time of written records the historic period. Christopher Columbus, a European explorer, was trying to find a new route to the Far East. When he reached America, he thought he had landed in India. He called the natives who greeted his boats Indians. Today, we use the word Indian to describe all of the Native Americans who were here when the Europeans arrived. However, some of these people prefer to be called American Indians or Native Americans. Indians in Missouri. Very few tribes were living in Missouri when Columbus and other early explorers arrived in America. A tribe is a group of people who have common ancestors and who share a name, language, and way of living. Many tribes did hunt in Missouri. As more and more Europeans arrived in America, tribes living in the eastern part of the continent were pushed westward into Missouri, including the Delaware, Shawnee, Kickapoo, and Peoria. Page 146. Scientists who study the American Indians group tribes with similar languages into families. Indians who lived in Missouri were members of the Algonquian and Siouan families. Tribes belonging to the Algonquian family included the Sauk or Sac, the Fox, and the Illinois. Among the Siouan tribes were the Sioux, the Oto, the Iowa, the Quapaw, and the Kansa. The Osage and their cousins, the Missouri, also belonged to the Siouan family. It is easy to see where we get the names of some of our states. The Missouri Indians were descended from the Winnebago tribe. Very little is known about the Missouri. They did not have a written language, and they disappeared soon after the first European explorers arrived. It is thought that the Sauk and Fox Indians defeated them, and they went to live with the Oto. We do know that they lived in wigwams made from poles covered with reed mats. They used dogs to alert them to approaching enemies and to pull small sleds. When meat was scarce, the dogs became food for humans. Page 147. It was the Osage who had the most contact with the early French explorers and settlers. At that time, the tribe lived along the Osage River in western Missouri, where the river is also called the Mertazine. The name Osage is a French mispronunciation of Wazhazi, the Quapaw word for the Osage. They call themselves Niyukonskal, pronounced Niyukonskal, which means people of the middle waters. The Osage called the Osage River the Watsiuzi, pronounced Watsiuzi, or snake with open mouth waters. The Osage were unusually tall people. Many of the men were 6 feet tall, which was taller than most Europeans in those days. The French explorers wrote that the Osage were great athletes. The Osage men shaved most of the hair from their heads. They kept a strip down the middle and attached turkey beards and deer tails to it. Page 148. How the Osage lived. Culture refers to the way of life of a group of people. It includes all of their beliefs, customs, activities, and possessions. Each group of people has its own culture. The Europeans found it hard to understand the Indians' culture and said the Indians were uncivilized. But that was not true. The Indians' culture was just different from the Europeans' culture. Food. Like other tribes in Missouri, the Osage were mainly hunters. But they also were farmers who grew squash, maize, corn, and beans. The entire tribe went hunting in March, returning in time to plant crops in the spring. Setting out again, they traveled north to the Great Lakes to hunt deer and elk, and far out onto the Great Plains to hunt bison. They might walk or run as much as 60 miles a day. They returned home in the autumn and harvested the crops before beginning another hunting season, which lasted until the winter weather became too cold and snowy. They normally stayed in their villages during the cold months of January and February. There were, of course, no refrigerators in those days. The meat from the hunts was cut into strips, rubbed with salt, and hung from branches or poles to dry in the sun. This resulted in food that is very much like what we know today as beef jerky. The Osage were known for their generosity. Meat gathered on the hunts was divided so that the old, the sick, widows, and orphans had enough to eat. While the Osage men were hunting, the women stayed behind in the hunting camps. They gathered nuts, roots, wild grains, and berries. To store food, they wove baskets from grasses. Page 149. Shelter. Osage villages did not look like our towns of today. The Osage lived in circular lodges. Poles cut from trees formed the frame of the lodge. Reeds woven into mats made walls and roofs. Each lodge had a hole in the roof to allow smoke from the cooking fire to escape. Groups of seven lodges were located in the woods and along the riverbanks. Government. Each Osage village was divided between two clans. The northern half of the village belonged to the Zisho, or Sky People. The southern half of the village belonged to the Hanga, or Earth People. In the center of the village were two long, flat lodges built for the chiefs of each clan. The lodges were sometimes as much as 100 feet long. They were used for councils, or gatherings of the men of the tribe where important decisions were made. The lodges also were used for ceremonies. Religion and storytelling. Each day at dawn, the Osage would chant prayers to the sun, which they called Grandfather. They also believed in Wakonta, a mystery force that calls the sun, the wind, and the lightning that controlled their lives. Fire was sacred and a symbol of the spark of life. A sacred fire was always kept burning in the lodges of the chiefs. The Osage often gathered to tell stories and recite poems, and this was a special time for them. The poems helped the Osage remember their history and customs. Did you know? According to its constitution, the leader of the modern Osage Nation is called the Principal Chief. The chief is part of a government that has three branches: executive, judicial, and legislative. The Osage legislature is called the Congress. Page 150. Clothing. Osage women turned animal skins into clothing using needles made from bones and porcupine quills. The Osage also traded for cloth with other tribes or European traders. They used berries, roots, tree bark, and nut husks, boiled in water to make dyes to color the cloth. The Osage men dressed in blue or red breech cloths, deerskin leggings, and leather shoes called moccasins. They also wore buffalo robes when the weather was cold. The women wore moccasins and leggings with a blue or red cloth around their waists and over one shoulder. Both men and women wore strands of beads and earrings. However, the more the Osage traded with Europeans, the more they changed their wardrobes to include European shirts, pants, dresses, and even shoes and boots. When the French arrived in Missouri, there were about 7,000 Osage Indians. By 1825, however, the last of the Osage had been forced out of Missouri by the federal government to a reservation in Kansas. The federal government moved the tribe again in 1872 to a reservation in Oklahoma. Many Osage still live there today and have formed the Osage Nation. Do you remember? Number 1. What tribes lived in what is now Missouri? Number 2. What 3 crops did the Osage plant? Page 151. Spotlight. An Osage Wedding. When a young Osage man wanted to marry a young Osage woman, he would have his uncle tell her uncle. If her uncle agreed to the marriage, the young man's family would prepare a feast for the young woman's family. If the young woman's family liked the young man's family, they would show it by washing the food bowls after the feast. This was repeated the next day. During both feasts, the family members exchanged many gifts, but the young man and the young woman were not allowed to see each other. They did not see each other until the wedding, which was held on the 4th day of the celebration. At the wedding, the families exchanged more gifts. The young man then went to his lodge and waited. The sisters and aunts of the young woman brought her to him in a buffalo robe. The young man would give the young woman a burden strap as a sign of respect. Osage women used these straps to carry firewood and other bundles.